As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, the artist still known as Bradfo, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball is not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. Baseball Isn't Boring is presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com.
All right, let's go. Let's go, everybody. All right, Baseball's and Boring Show. Come on, get jacked up. Yell it. Yell it, Gordo.
McFarland!
All right, easy. Don't blow the whistle.
He said yell it.
My apologies to everybody out here in Lansdowne Street.
You said get hyped up and yell it.
I know, but you have to...
I delivered.
You have to respect the medium, all right? You have to respect the microphone.
I delivered.
All right, you did deliver. All right, Pat, go ahead.
Eat it.
McFarland.
Okay. All right, Sammy.
Respectfully, McFarland.
Thank you. That's a man who knows what's what. And Zach, my friend behind the glass.
McFarland.
All right, he does his best. He does his best. All right, I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball's and Boring Show. With you till the pregame show, which I, who is that Joe Weil? Is that Joe Weil going to be bringing us that action?
Yes.
Let's go. All right, well. It's a great time to talk baseball, and it always is a great time to talk baseball. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. It's a rare time where we get a chance to talk baseball, do the Baseball Isn't Boring show after a Red Sox win. We have an epic streak of losses on Friday night in the last couple of years. But, yes, science would suggest, math would suggest, the scoreboard would suggest that the Red Sox actually won the game. They feel good about life. Even if it's against the Chicago White Sox, that's okay. The up-and-coming Chicago White Sox, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm like the Sports Illustrated cover for the Houston Astros in 2014. World champs, Chicago White Sox, 2018. Let it be said, let it be done. And that's the team that you beat last night at Fenway Park. That's the game that you played. You put the best version of yourself forward, fellas. And all you guys are from the Play Tessie podcast. Congratulations on all your success. All your red-hot brand awareness.
200 episodes.
200 episodes. 200 all right. Episodes. I don't keep track of how many episodes I do, since I do like 5 a day.
Okay.
All right.
BBIB, episode 8,172.
Hey, listen, this never ends. I'm putting up the Liam Hendricks press conference. He just talked to the media. Liam Hendricks, in case you missed it, Liam Hendricks is back.
Congratulations
to Liam Hendricks. It has been, as he said, thanks to AI, thanks to Google, 680 days since he last pitched. Congratulations, Liam Hendricks. Another step in the right direction, we think, for the Red Sox. But where I want to start, fellas, and we'll talk Tristan Casas, I'm sure, okay? We'll talk. Well, that's fine.
My favorite topic.
But your favorite topic. Roman Gonzalez, by the way, let's start recognizing what he brings to the table.
Absolutely.
But I think that I can fold this all in, and I want people to join the conversation, 617-779-7937. I want people to go to the socials, at BB Isn't Boring, or at Play Tessie. At BB Isn't Boring, I'm in the White Sox clubhouse yesterday. I'm in the White Sox clubhouse. Just standing there doing absolutely nothing, having talked to all the local guys. And for all you local people who are driving in to see today's pitcher, to see Mike Vassell, to see all these guys, these local pitchers who are wearing the Chicago White Sox uniform. Congratulations. It's going to be a great, great day. But I'm sitting there after talking to them in the White Sox clubhouse. All of a sudden, someone bursts through the door. A good-looking young gentleman bursts through the door wearing a White Sox sweatshirt, stops, pulls up the sweatshirt, and what is there? Lo and behold, Baseball Isn't Boring shirt. Grady Sizemore, he was just dying to show me. He said, every single day. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Red Sox legend Grady Sizemore.
Red Sox legend Grady Sizemore.
It's my least favorite term. By the way, that's another guy who I believe was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You talk about the Astros being on the cover.
He was.
Sizemore was.
He was. And that, by the way, part of the 2007 team that was up 3-1 on the Red Sox. But Grady Sizemore pulls up his sweatshirt, says, I wear this every single day when I work out. Baseball Isn't Boring. And I was walking through the stands and some fine folks said, hey, there was someone running out there with a Baseball Isn't Boring shirt on Fenway Field. I'm like, yeah, of course, every day. Oh, that must have been Grady Sizemore. Much like Garrett Crochet did when he got his shirt last year as a member of the White Sox. And obviously what it does, it is science, fellas. It is science. When you get on the Baseball Isn't Boring program, whether it's on the radio or on the podcast, great things are going to happen. Vaughn Grissom hasn't gotten out since he was on the program this week. That is a fact. This is a deep cut. Phil Maton, relief pitcher for the Cardinals, he might be the best reliever in baseball. And what did we do? We interviewed him before anybody else. And now you guys get a chance to experience that science. You guys get a chance to experience the awesomeness that is this umbrella. So congratulations. Your brands have never been hotter. The Play Tassie brand is on fire. We're going to talk about the Red Sox. But to come back to my original statement about beating the White Sox and what last night meant, and I want to get your guys' reactions to tell me if I'm full of hooey, if I'm right on the money, whatever it is. But you mentioned Romy Gonzalez. And so when I'm sitting there at 5:30 this morning thinking, you know, having the melatonin finally wore off from last night, I'm thinking, okay, why do I want to sink my teeth in the last night's game? And really, it wasn't that hard, to be honest with you. It was before the game, Alex Cora is asked about Sadan Rafaela, led by Alex Speer. Alex Speer did such a good job of sort of easing his way into this question, where he was like, you know, what's it like when you have a guy hitting 1,000 miles per hour on every single at-bat, and you have this other guy who, you know, is trying really hard, but offensively maybe is a little bit challenging to Rafaela. And Alex Cora, boom, right away, is like, well, Rafaela won us the game with that catch the other day. He's a huge, huge part of this team. And then, boom, he hits a home run last night. Then you have Marcelo Meyer, hits a grand slam. Okay, everyone's saying for the first few weeks of the season, and you know this is true, fellas, everyone was saying, oh, we don't need Trevor Story. You got Marcelo Meyer coming up. Look at the spring training he had, right? Oh. Everyone was saying that. You were saying that. Everybody was saying that.
Oh, whoa.
Anyway, so, but then all of a sudden we wake up and we see, holy mackerel, Trevor Story just hit 2 3-run homers. Holy mackerel, this guy has more multi-hit games than any player in baseball not named Paul Goldschmidt. Holy mackerel, this guy is part of the solution, not part of the problem. Holy mackerel, you don't need to call up Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer, in part because of what we saw last night. And then, before I let you guys go, because I'm ranting and raving, but that's what this is all about. And then you have other instances of this where Hunter Dobbins comes up. Oh, my goodness. Hector Velasquez, Brian Johnson 2.0. Oh, you have the failsafe. Richard Fitz, depth guy, hurt, no problem. You get this other guy coming up, 6 innings, 1 earned run. Boom. You have that depth. You don't have to be reactionary. You don't have to go out and worry about, oh, what are we going to do? We're going to do a bullpen game or whatever it is. That's a big takeaway, too. No bullpen game. Thank you. And then, Romy Gonzalez. All right, Tristan Casas, who, again, Gordo, I think we're going to talk about probably, correct? Yes?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We're going to get.
I feel like we're going to have a wager with a caller at some point today. I think we're going to have a wager with a caller.
Oh, are you going to stand? Do the thing where you stand and kind of shimmy back and
forth? No, I'm not going to yell.
He says that now. You don't know that.
I love the yell.
I wasn't proud of myself at that moment.
I was proud of you. I thought it was great.
It's all in good fun. We had a good time.
No, I was. I'm only speaking for myself. I can only talk about my heart and soul.
It was not in good fun.
Oh, there's nothing fun about it. Anyway, the point is that Tristan Casas, a sneaky thing here is that Romy Gonzalez is off to a pretty good start here. Romy Gonzalez is a viable option at first base as a right-handed hitter to get to find the right matchups for Casas, to not overextend him, and just to get more production out of that position. And the obvious example, which I as I crank through this thing at 5:30 this morning, the obvious thing is you go back to 2007, the Alex Cora. I default to this way too much. I admit this. The Dustin Pedroia. But for, what was it? Where are we? 21 games in, right? 21 games in 2007, you had Alex Cora had an OPS of over 900. You had Dustin Pedroia was hitting 180-something. That's, remember, like, this was the same thing. You need, my point is that you need these guys to have patience. And it is the most difficult thing in Major League Baseball to find. It is legitimate patience. That was my takeaway from last night. Who wants to go first?
Wait, patience from who? Patience from the
patience
manager?
Patience from not overreacting. Patience from, you want to go down the list? Patience from not running out Tristan Casas too much. Patience from not having a bullpen game. Patience from, hey, Roman Anthony, we just sent Sedan Rafaela down. We're going to jump ship on him already.
Patience for,
oh my goodness, we're going to, after what, he went like 2-for-14 to begin the year? Patience for him not dropping him down the order or thinking, oh my goodness, we have, even Marcelo Meyer isn't tearing it up in AAA. We have to call him up now because he is the future. Like, we saw that to a certain extent last year with the Orioles. When did Jackson Holliday get called up? I'll give you the answer. It was April 10th.
Right.
Right?
Right here at Fenway.
Right, right here at Fenway. And what did he go, like 1-for-39 or something like that?
It was rough.
In the 30s, yeah.
All right. Your reaction. Go ahead.
I mean, I think if you're asking Red Sox Nation overall to be patient, that's like...
Yeah, not going to happen.
It's just never going to happen.
Roman Anthony.
But yeah, I think we collectively forget unintentionally every year that this is a 162-plus game season. And it's hard to be centered when you're losing. Like those two games they lost to the White Sox last week. How do you not at least a little bit freak out? Even me, who Pat and Gordo can attest, I'm very, you know, level-headed when bad things are happening to the Red Sox. Even I was kind of like, okay, maybe they do.
All right, which was more, let me ask you this, and that's Sammy talking. We want to get everyone understanding who's talking because we had four experts in the room right now. It's a round table. It's like, you know, the McLaughlin group. I'm really dating myself. But one thing is, I'll ask you guys this, which was more of an overreaction from Red Sox world? Was it the White Sox losses? Or was it the absolute drubbing at the hand of a Rays team, which, by the way, I think they've lost like 5 in a row now? Go ahead.
I think you loop them together because the Rays lost.
No, I don't want you to loop them together.
But
I want you to say yes, one or the other.
Well, but you can't because the Rays, you only freak out after the Rays lost because of what happened in the White Sox series. They lose 2 out of 3 to the White Sox. Then they go to a minor league park, play the Rays, and lose that. That's why there's freak out.
I see what you're saying. I respect you very much.
One loss would normally not make
it's your prerogative to be wrong. There was only one game, fellas. There's only one game, Pat and Sammy, where I called Gordo. I called him to check on his well-being.
He did do this.
I checked on his well-being.
You should see our group chat. These two guys. It's not me. Yeah. I don't do it. These two guys flip out, and I'm like, "Hey, guys, we're..."
Well, I checked on his own well-being, not in the White Sox game,
the
Rays one.
I think the bigger, I don't even want to call it an overreaction, the bigger outburst from the fan base is when the Red Sox got smoked by the White Sox. Because they got smoked by the Rays. But you can look at the Rays and be like, "That's a good team, terrible game by the Red Sox, move on." But the White Sox, this is a team that just broke the record for the most losses in one season, and now they are fighting to not break the record they just broke. So I think that is the biggest reaction from Red Sox fans. I don't even want to call it an overreaction. It was
all right.
The
more at least you answered the question. Gordon won't even answer it. What's wrong with you,
Gordo? You could say that the Rays' reaction was worse because it was compiled with the White Sox.
I'm only speaking for myself, and that's what I'm saying. My reaction personally, like with the first White Sox game, is okay. They haven't been playing well, and it's one terrible game. With the Rays loss, I started to freak out a little bit because it's like, okay, this team hasn't been hitting for a week. And now they've lost.
At the time? That was a subtle thing even when they started winning in the Rays. But also, Gordo, and I want everyone to chime in, 617-779-7937. What a time to be alive with the Baseballs and Boring show live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. But Gordo, what was the final score of that Rays game?
Ooh, was it 16-1?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Gordo immediately texted me after. He said, wasn't that run awesome? That was great. That was the best run of all time.
Hey, anyway, Christian Campbell, come on.
Anyway, Pat, what do you got?
It's Chicago. We're 22, or the White Sox are 22 games in. 50% of the White Sox 4 wins are against the Boston Red Sox. That's demoralizing.
What happens today? Like, what happens if the Red Sox lose today?
On Red Sox are not going to lose.
Crochet
today.
Day game.
On Crochet
80
Day.
80 degrees.
Yeah.
Madness.
They're not going to lose today.
Madness? Really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
This street outside, trucks on fire.
Like, okay.
It's going to be bad.
Really? Oh, wow.
We should set up a little camera above Gordo's home TV so we can watch him live.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be hilarious.
What are you? I always ask guys or people when they go to concerts what they do, right? Like, do you sway? Do you hold up your phone? Do you – like, my wife, like, we went to the Green Day concert, and all of a sudden she's in the first row, like, banging her head, you know, like
– Rob, I have some stories for you. House of Blues right across the
street.
Oh, yeah? Oh, man.
Yeah, crowd surfing.
Yeah.
So you never know – my point is that you never know until you get the isolated camera in an empty room of what the person is doing. Now, that sounds kind of creepy. I understand.
A little bit.
But still – like this, we'll call it the Red Sox cam for Gordo, whatever. But we have to have this, right? You have. What are you doing? Are you literally talking to yourself? Are you throwing things at TVs? Are you pounding things? What are you doing?
Well, I talk things out with my wife, and she probably understands like under 20% of what I'm saying. But I talk it through. When good things happen, I yell, and when bad things happen. It depends. Like, if it's late in the game, like, I'll hit pillows and stuff. I don't throw anything at TVs or anything, but I'm an emotional Red Sox watcher.
Okay.
I live and die with it.
All right. Yeah. Unfortunately, you do. All right. But that's why we love you. That's why we love you all. 617-779-7937. It's a great crossroads. It's fork in the road Saturday. This seems like a good time to be forking the road Saturday. But
this is. Hey, they won 4 out of 5, Rob.
Hey, as you point out, if you win today, you got your ace, you got the guy, you're dealing, all's right with the world, you have Marathon Monday coming up. It's great. And by the way, can I just say, please, once, because I'm not going to get a chance to do it again, congratulations to everybody running the marathon. Congratulations to everybody in town. Congratulations to everybody who has gone through this to get to this point. Wow, what an accomplishment, and what a weekend this is. And I hope this is your part of your weekend. I hope this show, when you look back at this, like when I look back at running the marathon in 2005, I remember certain things. I remember taking a limo to the starting line with Lauren Sanchez. I remember things like that. So, like this, I want people to remember that they listened to this. They came into Boston and they listened to the best baseball show in the country for 2 hours of their existence. I want them to remember that.
They're going
to
be talking about Fork in the Road Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
On Wednesday, they're going to be talking about Fork in the Road Saturday.
Yeah.
Can we?
No, I don't even want. Forget about t-shirts. Well, no, don't forget about t-shirts, but I want a graphic. I want a Fork in the Road Saturday graphic. Because you know what? I got a feeling every day is going to be, every week we do this is going to be Fork in the Road Saturday.
Oh, the season's over or the Red Sox are back every weekend.
Note to self, get trademarked. All right, 617-779-7937. Speaking of trademarks, there's one trending, which is the best of all trendings. And that's my good friend, Zach. Zach, take it away.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox beat the White Sox 10-3 at Fenway last night. Rookie Hunter Dobbins making his second major league start, going 6 innings, allowing two runs, one earned on 3 hits while striking out 6. Trevor Story stayed hot, going 3-for-4 with a pair of 3-run home runs. Here's what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say about his shortstop after the game.
When he's healthy, he's 30-30. You know, this guy's really good. So we haven't seen the healthy version of Trevor Story. My job is to keep him on the field, and I'll do my best. Plays he produces, you know, and, you know, so far it's been fun to watch.
Game 2 of that 4-game set against the White Sox continues this afternoon. Garrett Crochet taking the mound opposite his former team for the second time this season, while Danvers native Shane Smith gets the start for Chicago. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Then Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game, first pitch at 4:00. 410. In other Red Sox news, Sox announced today that they have activated reliever Liam Hendricks off the injured list. Hunter Dobbins heading back to AAA to make room for Hendricks on the 26-man roster. NBA play-in tournament wrapped up last night. The Miami Heat and Memphis Grizzlies claim the 8th seed in their respective conferences. Playoffs officially get underway this afternoon with Game 1 in the Bucks-Pacers, Nuggets, Clippers, Knicks, Pistons, and Lakers-T-Wolves series. The Celtics, of course, will have to wait until tomorrow to kick off their pursuit of Banner 19. They'll host the 7th seed Orlando Magic in Game 1 tomorrow afternoon. Tip-off at the Garden set for 3:30. NHL playoffs also kick off tonight. The Blues head to Winnipeg to take on the Jets, while Charlie Coyle and the Colorado Avalanche are in Dallas to take on the Stars. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More baseball isn't boring coming up after this.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Oh, Zach. I'll forgive you this one time. Zach, what did you not do just now?
I know what he did.
What did you not do?
I didn't come back with Ace of Spades.
Thank you. Every single time.
Did you ponder it, Zach? Did you think about it and then decide against it?
No, he forgot. He's busy. He's been dominating all day. So, I know.
Truth be told, I ran to the bathroom and then I came back with like 15 seconds left in the break. So then I had to just quickly play a song.
I gotta be honest with you. That's where our demographic is in bathrooms and baseballs and boring shows. You'll get them next time. Ace of Spades, Motorhead, every single time. I feel like we're not going to dabble around it. We're not going to dip our toes in every once in a while doing the rejoin Ace of Spades by Motorhead. I'll defer to you guys because you're part of the family. Do you think that's a good move every single time?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. What are you doing over there? What's happening?
Go look in your Twitter.
We'll tell you at the next break.
I don't want to. Do I have to? No. Anyway, Jeff in Watertown, always a good time. Jeff, what's going on?
How you guys doing? Hey, Bradfo. How Tussie guys? How you doing?
Great.
What's up, Jeff?
Bradfo, the thing. First of all, to me, the game of the week was Wednesday night. That game to me showed a lot of integrity, what this team could do. You know, I love a 2 hour and 17 minute game, 1-0. I mean, the big blowout. I mean, I expect us to get 10 runs more often than not. I mean, I think, this is an offensive team, but that win to me just meant a lot. But the other point I wanted to bring up was Trevor Story, who for 2 years we've been saying, is a key to the team, and people forget just how good a ball player he is and how much better we would have been the last 2 years if we had him. And this whole idea of moving people around and trying to get whether Anthony up or Marcelo Mayer, I'm thinking that he's a good candidate to try at first base. I mean, I think he's the kind of guy the kind of athlete is not going to have a problem playing it, but also might enjoy the challenge. And in terms of his longevity, I think eventually it would be a good spot for him and, just have him go against left-handed starters, give, Costas a break. I mean, I know we have Romy too, but he also plays other positions. Anyway, I don't know what you think, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Listen, I like your outside-the-box thinking, Jeff. I'm not going to lie, but I'm also not going to lie. I don't think they'll ever move Trevor Story off shortstop as long as he's a member of the Red Sox ever again. And I think that he's dug in on that. He did his penance with that 1 year, which he was awesome at second base with Xander here. But he's like,
he was at second base.
Yeah. I am a shortstop. And if you look at the analytics right now, and I think Cora made reference to this about stories, that, I know some people say this or that, and I think he's saying that because if you look at sort of the analytics, it doesn't say, oh, well, this is the 2019 Trevor Story. But, you watch him, and he's a pretty good shortstop. He's a pretty good shortstop. And I think but that's where we're at right now, Jeff, is trying to figure out the first base thing. And I do think that right as we sit here, it's okay to say to Romy, you're the guy, leave Story at short, leave Bregman at third, leave Campbell at second, which is another thing. I don't want to see him go the outfield. I just want to leave him at second.
Agreed.
All of that. But, again, there's no bad ideas. That's what they say, right, Jeff? No bad ideas. But I do want to get your thought, Jeff, real quick. I do want to get your thought about sort of the polarizing, besides the Casas being the most polarizing, the Roman Anthony thing. Because this is one thing that Everybody's talking about this week because you look it up. I think he is the third most of any minor leaguer of 100-mile-an-hour hits in minor league baseball. This guy is doing everything that you would hope to. He's looking the part. He certainly looked like he's ready to be a major leaguer. But, Jeff, you have experienced a lot of these guys. You've experienced a lot of these different iterations of bringing guys up or keeping guys around. I referenced 2007. I value your opinion, Jeff. What do you think?
I love when players force the issue. I have no problem keeping a player in the minor leagues until they tell you that you can't keep them there any longer, until they are just dominating. And then it forces you to make a move. I don't think you have to rush it. I think too many times we wanted to bring a player up because we needed them. We don't need him. Make him force you, you know, make him force you to make a move. I mean, I just think that's how you earn your, you know, earn your stripes. And, you know, and I think he'll do that. But I am perfectly fine with keeping the team as it is until he makes you have to bring him up, and then you bring him up, and then you trade whoever you need to trade.
That's why you're the best, Jeff. I appreciate your thoughts. All right, man, good talking with you. Always a good time with Jeff from Watertown. Okay, first of all, I am going to desperately find out what you guys are giggling about over there. Second of all, I want your takes, because this is, you know, last week was Cassis was the most polarizing thing, and I think that it's still right up there. But if you go through this week, undeniably, the Roman Anthony conversation has leapfrogged that because of, you know, Jeff said that he has to force his issue. And he's almost sort of a lot of people say, well, he is. He's done that. But at the same time, has he? Like, has he? He still hasn't played a lot in the outfield because of that shoulder thing. You're only a couple of weeks in. You know, this isn't the Jackson Holliday thing. Let's learn from that if we can, please. I want your guys' response to Roman Anthony existence right now with the Boston Red Sox / Worcester Red Sox / Baseball Isn't Boring show. Wow. Gordo, go.
Well, I think you just have to ask yourself, and let's just assume he's healthy. Like, get him back, because obviously he's not coming up here if he can't physically play the outfield. Rafael Devers is the DH. But let's move past that. He's healthy. Who are the best 26 guys? Who are your three best outfielders? How can you maximize?
No matter what side of the plate they hit from.
No matter what side of the plate they hit from.
All right. I just
because you've got platoon guys. Yeah. You've got multiple.
All right. Okay.
And if you
didn't answer the question.
No, I'm gonna answer the question. Okay. I think Roman Anthony is one of your three best outfielders, and I think he's absolutely worthy of a starting.
So you would call him up right now.
Once he's ready to play the outfield defensively, if he's healthy enough to do that, I'd call him up. Yeah.
Okay. And what would be the corresponding move?
I think you'd have to make...
You cannot have 27 guys on the team.
No, you can't. You'd have to pick between David Hamilton and Sedan Rafaela for who you want on the team still. And obviously, if you pick David Hamilton to send down, then Sedan Rafaela is going to be coming off the bench in that scenario.
Okay. All right. Sammy, go ahead.
Yeah, we spoke about this on episode 200 of Play Tessie. Like,
I'm not clear. How many episodes?
200. Like right, and subscribe on YouTube, all the platforms. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram.
There you go.
I think it's as simple as the second Roman Anthony's able to play left field or center field, wherever they want him, have him play one or two games and then get him up here. The bat, what could you possibly say about the bat? Every time he touches the baseball, it's going at 120,000 miles an hour off the bat. He looks amazing. He's forcing the issue, like our caller said, our beloved caller. Whose name escapes me.
Jeff
from Watertown. We love you, Jeff. I think he's doing exactly that, forcing the issue. Get him a game or two in left field or center field. Great. Call him up here. And then what Gordo said, it's either probably Sedan to a utility role, and then you send down, I don't know, Hamilton. Maybe you consider doing something with
Snyder. So if you want to play that game, I'll get to you in a second, Pat. But if you want to do that, you say, okay, Roman's up, Hamilton, the candidates to go down, Hamilton and Rafaela. So obviously you need a backup shortstop. That would basically saying if you send Hamilton down, Rafaela would be a go to the infield, which they said they didn't want to do, but they said a lot of
utility
things.
Utility player.
They said a lot of things.
This is what I've been saying since the offseason.
Right. I mean, they said a lot of things in spring training. I mean, even like the whole Rafael Devers is never going to play in the field seems like.
About Romy. You put Romy as short for a game. It's just one game. If it's a long-term injury, if Story goes down,
yeah,
then
you call it Meyer.
Yeah,
exactly.
I get it. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, all right. Pat, your turn. Go ahead.
I've been saying for, I think, 2 weeks, bring up Roman. And I think the corresponding move is Sedan in that kind of Brock Holt super utility role. David Hamilton is playing a good amount of games for a bench piece. He only plays a select few positions. Sedan is going to get plenty of playing time in that super utility role. He can play everywhere on the field. I would probably lean handing sending Hamilton down. But Roman is one of your top three outfielders, like Gordo said. He is. That is point blank. That is factual. He has a top three hardest hit ball across major and minor league baseball this year. He's hitting the cover off the ball. He's walking a ton. He's doing everything. He's checking every single box you want to check from a prospect before you call him up.
And he's doing it without a torpedo bat.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
It's amazing
Incredible.
How you can function without a torpedo bat.
And his no, but it shouldn't be forgotten either. The walk rate for a guy at his age, 20 years old, to be walking at the rate he is in AAA. You just don't see it.
Yeah, you actually do see it once in a while. I mean,
from Roman Anthony.
Conversely, the only red flag, just so we're not completely all giving love to Roman, is the strikeout rate is still a little high. Don't love that, especially for a team.
Okay,
like
so all right. So my point overall is I respect all of your opinions. You raise really, really good points.
You're about to say you'd keep him down.
Well, it's your prerogative to be semi wrong. Wow. All right, because I'll come back to exactly what I said. I can't be a hypocrite about this. Off of last night, right, you had Sedan Rafaela. We know what he can do defensively. Alex Cora before the game cited it, and he's not wrong. He can be a game changer defensively. That is one of the good things, or one main good thing about him. Then if you actually find a guy who can hit a home run like he did last night and can be somewhat consistent, then, all right, he is part of the solution. Trevor Story, I mean, we aren't talking about Marcelo Meyer, but that's another example where it's okay. Like, it's okay. What you have now, it's okay. And I know we're focused on Roman, so I'll focus on Rafaela. I'll focus on Hamilton and those guys. For what you have right now, because it is going to be a little bit square peg round hole and finding that guy the 5 or 6 days a week playing time, it is not the time to call him up, even when he starts playing the field again.
Are you all just right. going to wait for an injury? Because we had this conversation.
No, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till like June. What's wrong with that?
That's not that bad. I can get behind that. I don't. June's not terrible. If you're saying July, August, then I'm kind of like, that's so long. But June, that's not that bad.
What if Rafaela keeps hitting 200? The defense is going to be there. The base running is going to
sure. But he just hit a home run last night.
Hit a home run.
This is a terrible time. And
he hit a home run to raise his OPS to 5.
Right, and his batting average and OPS with runners on is one of the best in the team too. I'm not making excuses for him. It's true.
I know, but that.
All right, I don't. He serves a purpose on this team right now.
Agreed.
The point is,
no one's saying he doesn't.
No, I get it. So the point with Anthony. Is that, and I think that you guys agree, if he's up, play him. Like, if he's up, you play him. You're not platooning him. You're just playing him.
Yeah,
But right now, even with the Rafaela role, you're not playing him all the time. You're platooning the guy. So it's still square peg round hole with the guy a little bit. I mean, the obvious thing is anything happened to Abreu, if anything happened to Duran, boom.
What's going to happen.
There you go.
Remember, Rob, last week we had this conversation like about Richard Fitz, and it was when Bayo and Giolito come back, how do you kick this guy out of the rotation? We had that conversation, and then what, a mere 2.5 hours later, he gets the pec injury, and now it's no longer a conversation. That's probably what's going to end up happening here, right? Like in the next 2 or 3 weeks, like we've seen this every year.
Every single year.
It's baseball season, 162 games. It's a grind, and the decision will get made.
Let me check. It is still 162 games.
Sometimes even more. Rob, I got a question for you. Do you think there's any chance of an early season trade? We've seen it before.
They made one with Quinn Priester.
No.
It happened.
True. Yeah, we did. Priester. There you go. Very different, but
yeah, incredibly different than the one that you're talking about.
The one I always default to, and this is maybe like dates myself a little bit. It was the Shea Hillenbrand trade in May.
I cried.
Young Kim.
I cried. I was a little kid. I cried when.
Really?
Yeah. I was in tears, and my dad was explaining it to me.
But that was sort of the end of May, and so you asked this question, and we haven't even brought up the other part of this equation, guys, fellas.
There's another part.
Oh
yeah, what's the other part?
This is the part where, as I've worn out this analogy of Russell Crowe drawn in the window and a beautiful mind. Desperately trying to figure out this formula, and nobody can figure it out. I just can't crack the code. What do you do with Masa Yoshida?
Oh, my God.
You forgot about him, did you? All right.
They want you to forget about
honestly,
him.
No.
His name hasn't come into my head once.
But this is amazing. And I love, like, he was asked, Alex Cora was asked about him yesterday, is like, yeah, no, he's still down in Fort Myers, you know, working out in the outfield every other day. But, you know, he's had some good days and bad days.
Good days and bad days.
You got to string these days together. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, how long can you stretch this thing out with this guy? And Masa Yoshida must be like, really? I tore it up in Grapefruit League action.
You know,
he's got to file a grievance.
I was thinking about this the other day. In 10, 15 years from now, how would you describe the Masataka Yoshida Red Sox stint? How do you possibly describe? Like, it's so bizarre.
You know who could use Masataka Yoshida? The Chicago White Sox.
It's very easy how to describe Masataka Yoshida 10 years from now. It's Rusne Castillo. That's
exactly No.
That's harsh.
No.
Because he was... Rusne Castillo offered nothing.
No. That's a terrible analogy.
Yoshida offered
nothing. No, it's not terrible.
It's a terrible analogy.
That's harsh.
No. Because I actually believe... If you did not have a DH, he'd be here probably with an 850 OPS, right?
We hope. Yep.
No, I actually believe it. Listen, no one overreacts to spring training like me. And I am overreacting to spring training, the guy that I saw.
Get Trace Thompson here right now.
Hey, good news, guys. Good news, fellas. Dreammaker is back at 2 o'clock. So Brian Abraham will be joining us. Get your best questions, and you can ask flat out, hey, hasn't Roman Anthony been called up yet? Just ask him that. Who's going to be the one? Raise your hand.
I can do it.
Look at you.
Let's do it.
All right.
That should be the first question.
He's going to say that.
Have him on and not ask.
Well, I think that, you have to ask questions that he's going to answer.
We got to workshop it, though. I want to know what is up with the shoulder, specifically, because we don't know. It's very vague right now.
Okay. All right. What's up with the shoulder?
Yeah, Roman Anthony.
Yeah, I know. He's got a banged up shoulder.
But what does that mean? That's like when someone's like, my knee blew up.
Upper body. It's like the Bruins. Upper body injury.
General body injury.
General body soreness. All right. 617-779-7937 Farm Director Brian Abraham at 2. But the playtesty guys are here. Pat, Gordo, Sammy. I'm Rob Bradford. Zach behind the glass. What a time to be alive. Again, the Baseball Isn't Boring show. Be back after this.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, there you go. Baseball Isn't Boring show. If that doesn't get you fired up, it's science. We deal in science, math,
mostly science, and
fun. All right, science, math, and fun. We were trying to figure this out. By the way, we are here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And trying to figure out, can someone tell us what's going on with the Hello Kitty stuff? A lot of Hello Kitty stuff.
I'm Googling right now. I'm a lot of Hello Kitty stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, it's worth a Google. Anyway, so speaking of worth a Google, we had talked about the lot in life that is the Boston Red Sox. They are, if I check my standings, if the standings are correct and they are up to date. Did you just yawn? What's wrong with you?
Oh,
Gordon, did you just yawn? You just yawned.
I didn't yawn.
Five-minute minor. 5-minute minor. Let's go.
You yawned.
You yawned.
No one yawned.
You're not yawning when you're watching a game. You're yawning before a game. What's wrong with you?
No one's yawning.
You're at Fenway Park. We're at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. You're on the Baseballs and Boring Show.
I know. That's why
you're
I'm not yawning.
You're a member of the Red Hot Play Tessie podcast. What is wrong with you?
No one's yawning. What is this? He's delusional.
Oh, there he is. All right. What's up? Oh, I don't know what what's going on?
What's he saying?
I don't know. The fans are electric here on Lansdowne Street. It's awesome.
He's trying to spell it out, but I can't.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll figure it out. But, all right, 11-10, okay? They're 11-10, yes?
That's the record.
That's the record.
It's Hello Kitty Day.
Hello Kitty Fenway. Day. All right.
Wow. Okay. Do you know that that's one of the biggest brands in the world? I found this out recently. Mm-hmm. That and Pokemon.
Okay. Ooh.
We got a Trot Nixon jersey.
There's a Hello Kitty bag.
Hey, like squirrel. What's wrong with you guys today? What's happening? Focus up. Let's go.
So excited.
All right. So 11-10. I'm going to go around the room. And if people can weigh in, we have Brian Abraham calling in at 2 o'clock to tell us the what's what when it comes to all things minor leagues. And he can also give me the enormous amount of credit for having Vaughn Grissom on the podcast because he hasn't gotten out since. Which is another conversation, right? I mean, Vaughn Grissom playing a little bit of first base. Vaughn Grissom hitting the ball. I almost expected Vaughn Grissom to get the call up in the Alex Bregman paternity leave. But no. Sogard, congratulations to the Sogard family. All right, 11-10. Gordo, you're back on the ice. All right, you're out of the minor. I'm excusing you this one time for yawning. All right.
No one yawned.
What did you do?
I'm just here.
Okay, all right.
What are you talking about?
Yawn.
11 and 10.
11 and 10.
Okay. So is this where you thought they would be? A. And also, what's the level of optimism right now that they're and I know that you're going to say 11, but what's your level of optimism that they're in this for the long haul? That they, what, how you thought coming out? What do you guys say for wins?
I had 89.
You had 89.
I was the lowest.
Okay.
I might have had
108.
I gotta go check the graphic. I was in the 90s for
90s. Okay,
I had 90. It was low 90s.
All right. 90. Do you feel better? Oh, here's a question. This is the easier question. Bad job by me. Do you feel better or worse about this team than you did on opening day?
I feel worse about it. That's not necessarily like a doomer take. I thought they would be in a better spot right now. I mean, we've now seen them play 4 of their games against the White Sox, and they're 11 and 10. I thought they'd be a little bit better by now. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? I do. I like the way they've played lately. The offense has picked up, and I think there's potential for more.
Who's the best team in the American League?
I think the American League stinks. Okay. I don't know if there's an answer.
That's not an answer. That's why I ask.
What is it? It's not the – I mean, the Yankees have the best record, but they're not the
Who's
best
the team. Best team in the
answer
American
the
League?
Answer the question.
I don't know. The Rangers? I don't know. The Red Sox could be. Who All knows?
Right. You so badly want to say the Red Sox. But
I don't. They haven't played like
you
the
You don't
best
want to become America. A cliche.
Nah, I mean, they don't deserve to be called that to this point, but I think there's easily a world where in a month, 2 months.
Right now, who is the best team in the American League?
Right now, I'll give it to the Texas Rangers.
All right, Sammy.
Not San Diego.
Better or worse?
I feel exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same. The hitting has not been as good as I thought it would be, but that doesn't mean I think it's a bad lineup. I think it'll come around. The pitching, the rotation has not been as good as I thought it would be. The bullpen's been better, so that evens out. I think the defense, despite the errors, I think it looks better, passes the eye test at least. A little, the weird mistakes got to stop. But overall, I think it looks improved. Slightly under 90 wins, I feel good about that. So I'm not changed. It's way too early for me to change much.
Best team in the American League?
Probably Texas.
That's 2 for Texas.
Oh, 2 for Texas.
All right, Pat, go
you
ahead.
You pick anyone better, for that answer.
Better or worse?
You wouldn't be wrong.
The Chicago White Sox. Pat?
Slightly worse as of right now.
Okay.
But that is just because, like Sammy said, the rotation has not been as good as I thought it was going to be. But you do have Giolito coming back. You have Bayo coming back offensively. They've been very hot and cold. But at some point, Roman's up here. Marcelo's up here. And then...
So slightly worse.
Yeah, slightly worse. Slightly worse overall.
Best team in the American League.
It's the Texas Rangers.
Wow. Wow.
We said this beginning of the season. We said it would be either Texas or Red Sox. Best team in the AL. And Texas right now looks really good. Tyler Mahle. Wow.
Love their lineup. Healthy DeGrom back. Eovaldi's a dog. I think they're very, very good.
You know who's also a dog? Eovaldi.
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 Nathan Eovaldi. Yeah, Eovaldi. He's also a dog.
It's
yeah.
A tough one.
Yeah.
Also, it's Molly.
Kumar Rocker. Molly. That's that. Kumar Rocker would have been the best.
So, name. All right. I am going to say, for me, slightly worse. I think a big part of that is because Rafael Devers hasn't. I know he had a good game last night. He hit a ball. You know, a lot of that was a win. I'm just not going to lie to you. The wind was blowing straight out to center field. But you know, at home he's been really good. On road he's been really bad. You need a really, really good Rafael Devers. Tristan Casas hasn't been anywhere near what we thought he was going to be. So I think those are such key elements of this entire equation. You still haven't scored a ton of runs. You are making more errors than anybody thought you would make. That was supposed to be fixed. I'm not doom and gloom here, but I'm just being a real.
All of it's fair. But it also could be seen as reason for optimism. Like, Rafael Devers and Tristan Casas are going to hit. And the offense has been better lately.
Sure, but I'm just dealing the here and the now.
No, I agree. The here and the now, it has not been up to the level that you'd expect.
And then another thing is Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck is like, this was supposed to be the how this thing was going to be set up. Where if you get into a playoff series, it was going to be Crochet, Houck, Buehler, Bayo, whoever, Giolito. But it was going to be those three guys. And right now, Houck isn't the all-star. A lot of this was predicated on having the, no doubt about it, the Lester and the Lackey, the Beckett and the Schilling, like that sort of dynamic. And right now, that's sort of a work in progress. And in terms of the best team in the majors, I mean, in the American League,
Say Texas.
Texas.
Wow.
I mean, Texas.
I'm proud of all of you for not saying the Yankees.
Yeah, Texas.
Yankees are playing well, but you just look at their roster.
All right. Well, hey, listen. We got a great show for the last hour coming up to the pregame show with Joe Weil. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Gordo, Sammy, Pat of Play Tessie Podcast. And as is always the case, Brian Abraham, Dreammaker / Farm Director, the Boston Red Sox will be joining us to ask any question. If you want to, hey, we'll do a little something different. If you want to reach out to us on X/Twitter and there's questions that you want asked from Brian Abraham, I feel like we're men of the people. We will ask those questions, or the ones that we feel like asking anyway. So that's coming up. Again, if you want to call in, 617-779-7937. What a time to be alive. It's a great day here at Fenway Park. And by the way, we are brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years, and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Yay, baseball. Brian Abraham coming up.